You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin in the world of sports. The University of Connecticut is on top of the world.
It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history. Back-to-back national champions.
That call courtesy of TBS. The Huskies did win the NCAA men's title over fellow number one seed Purdue 75-60. And UConn's not the only one we have to congratulate this morning. A special shout out to Whitney Wolf Hurd, the founder and executive chair of Bumble, won the annual Bloomberg Brackets for a Cause with a score of 171, and her prize money will go to the charity of her choice, Baby to Baby. We will have much more on the big game in sports in a few minutes.
All right, Nathan, well, we now turn to the economy, and former Federal Reserve policymaker James Bullard says his base case is 3 interest rate cuts this year. He cited successful policy and a strong economy, but said more data is still needed before multiple cuts.
Some people are saying that the next report will lead to core PC being only 2.6% on a 12-month basis. So you're starting to get close enough. I think you have enough data in hand right now to justify the first rate cut, maybe not a whole string of rate cuts, but you could certainly justify the first rate cut now based on the data that they have.
And former St. Louis Fed President James Buller's outlook echoes the Fed's messaging on monetary policy this year, but contrasts with growing market expectations for fewer cuts. Hear the full conversation on the Bloomberg Talks podcast feed, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Karen, there are even some officials seeing the potential for no cuts at all this year. Among them, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari.
My base case scenario is that inflation will continue to fall this year. And I jotted down in March that we would have 2 interest rate cuts, 25 basis points, over the course of this year. So that was my base case scenario. Then I explained, if we don't see any progress on inflation and inflation moves sideways, then that would make me question, why would we cut interest rates?
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari made those comments yesterday at an event at the University of Montana.
While the market waits for rate cuts, Nathan, the whole country is going to have to wait another 21 years to witness what we saw yesterday. Millions from Texas to Maine were dazzled by a total solar eclipse. Just about everyone in North America got to see at least part of the sun blocked out. These people had a clear view in Niagara Falls.
Oh my gosh! It's so cool. It looks like a hole through the sky.
Unbelievable. My aunt actually came here from California.
I'm so glad. I said, I'm going to come here, and it's absolutely changing. And I'm a science teacher, so it's my bucket list.
And the path of totality for this eclipse crossed through several major cities, including Dallas, Indianapolis, Cleveland, and Buffalo, New York. An estimated 44 million people live on the track that saw the moon pass in front of the sun for a full 4 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah, it was quite the show, Karen. Well, now we turn to the latest legal developments involving Donald Trump. A New York appeals judge has rejected the former president's attempt to delay his hush money criminal trial. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
So this means the jury selection is on the docket to begin next Monday, the 15th. Appeals Court Justice Lisbeth Gonzalez denying the attempt to not start the trial on time, rejecting the emergency stay. Now, Trump's attorneys are also challenging the gag order prohibiting him from making comments about Judge Mershon's family. As well, the judge ruled that potential jurors will be asked whether they belong to groups like Antifa and QAnon, as well as whether they've been to rallies in support of or in opposition to Trump. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Ed, thanks. Well, there's a new development in the January 6th case against former President Trump. Special Counsel Jack Smith is asking the Supreme Court to reject Trump's immunity claims and allow a speedy trial over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The justices will hear arguments on April 25th and are scheduled to rule by the end of June. Smith needs a clear-cut victory to have any chance of putting Trump on trial before the November election.
Well, Karen, it's been a rough couple of days for former President Trump on Wall Street. Shares of Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of his Truth Social platform, have lost 36% since late last month. More on that from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
For Trump Media, some $2.8 billion in market value has been wiped out since March 26th. And for Trump himself, his paper windfall has been reduced by some $1.6 billion. His stake is now worth roughly $2.9 billion. Now, for Trump to capture a benefit, he'll have to wait 6 months before he can sell shares under a lockup agreement. Trump Media now has a market cap of roughly $5 billion. Last year, this company generated just $4.1 million in revenue. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Doug, thanks. From Wall Street to Washington, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is weighing in on TikTok, and that could spark the effort to pass a bill that would effectively ban the video sharing app in the United States. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from the nation's capital.
Senator McConnell says requiring ByteDance to divest from the video sharing app is squarely within established constitutional precedent. On the Senate floor, McConnell says China's influence has been baked in from the beginning.
170 million Americans are active users of a social media platform that the People's Republic of China treats as a tool of surveillance and of propaganda.
McConnell backs a bipartisan effort to pass the bill, forcing the China-based parent company to sell TikTok. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has yet to commit to bringing the bill to the floor. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thank you. In company news, Tesla has reached a settlement on the eve of its highest-profile trial yet over a crash blamed on autopilot. That's the driver assistance system that Elon Musk has billed as crucial to his pursuit of self-driving cars. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed.
Meanwhile, Nathan, General Motors' Cruise autonomous driving business is preparing to resume testing its robo-taxis with safety drivers in Phoenix. Sources say GM is set to announce and begin the testing as early as today. Analysts say this marks an important step in GM's attempts to resume service after grounding its fleet last year. And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Israeli leaders say the plan is set for military operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where more than a million civilians have gathered. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said the Biden administration is strongly urging Israel against the operation.
We have made clear to Israel that we think a full-scale military invasion of Rafah would have an enormously harmful effect on those civilians and that it would ultimately hurt Israel's security.
Meanwhile, Pope Francis met with the family of hostages at the Vatican still being held by Hamas.
Evil. He called them bad guys and evil. And he was very clear that the hostages need to come home. I think, you know, we can all agree.
And Turkey announced restrictions on exports to Israel. The list includes more than 50 items, including construction materials. Turkey said it was taking measures against Israel after it opposed planned Turkish aid drops over the Gaza Strip. Three people are dead, including the gunman, after a shooting inside a Las Vegas law office. Police say it was just after 10 a.m. local time when shots rang out in attorney Dennis Prince's law office. Lieutenant Jason Johansson with the Las Vegas Police says the shooter killed himself after shooting the two victims.
One deceased victim is a female in her 30s. Another one is a male in his 50s. Our suspect is also deceased here on scene. and he is a male in his 70s.
Lieutenant Johansson says the victims were apparently the shooter's intended target. President Joe Biden and Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida plan to form a council on defense industries and allow shipyard workers in Japan to perform more maintenance work on U.S. Navy ships as they look to shore up their military alliance. Global news, 24 hours a day and whenever you want it. With the Bloomberg News Now, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thanks.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John.
Thanks, Karen. Remarkable what the UConn Huskies have done the last 2 years. Back-to-back national championships, first to do it since Florida in 2006 and 7. So they won a dozen consecutive games and not one of them particularly close. In Phoenix, UConn won the first half with Purdue 36-30, won the second half 39-30, won the game 75-60. Did it as usual with balance. Tristan Newton led the way this time. 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Coach Dan Hurley asked to compare this title with last year's.
Maybe it feels a little bit better because it's like the last thing, knowing how great this team's been, we've taken, we've worn the everything shirt the whole year. And we just, everyone in this organization gave everything so that we could win everything this year.
Purdue had its best season in 44 years. Zach Edey's career ends, two-time National Player of the Year, and last night in defeat, he scored 37. We'll see what the ratings were, but overall viewership almost certainly not what the women got. 18.7 million tuned in for that South Carolina-Iowa game. In the last 5 years, only football and the Olympics have had more viewers. In Atlanta, they honored the late Henry Aaron. It was the 50th anniversary of his home run to break Babe Ruth's record. And then the Mets, Brandon Nimmo, made like Aaron. Hit two, had four hits, drove in five. The Mets with a come-from-behind 8-7 win over the Braves. Yankees also used the long ball. A pair of three-run shots in the fourth inning. First, Anthony Volpe. Then Juan Soto, his first in the Bronx. Yanks all over the Marlins, 7-0. The Yanks are 9-2. The Marlins are 1-10. Shohei Ohtani, his third home run as a Dodger, came in a 4-2 win at Minnesota. Mike Trout, already his fifth of the season. Angels over Tampa Bay 7-1. The Nationals beat the Giants 8-1. Blake Snell roughed up this Giants debut. Knicks in Chicago tonight at the UBS Arena. It's the Rangers and Islanders, a possible playoff preview. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Karen, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. And futures, they're pretty much little change this morning, and the 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.39%.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. At first, it was several rate cuts. Now it might be just one or none at all. Investors are trying to figure out just how much, if at all, the Federal Reserve will cut rates this year. began 2024 expecting several cuts throughout the year. Well, former St. Louis Fed President James Bullard says he still thinks we can see multiple cuts this year. He sat down with Bloomberg's Haslind Amin on the sidelines of HSBC's Global Investment Summit in Hong Kong. Let's go now to part of that conversation.
I think at this point you should probably take the committee and the chair at face value. I think their best guess right now is still three cuts this year. And of course, the data can go one way or another, but that's the base case. I think it's been a very successful policy. The policy rate was increased a lot during 2022, and inflation fell quite a bit in the second half of 2023. Last year at this time, core PC inflation would have been 200 basis points higher than it is right now. That's the committee's favorite measure. So you're looking at a very successful policy with a pretty strong economy. So a lot of things going right for the Fed right now.
So Powell has been right so far?
Yeah, I think he's been right so far, and the committee's been right so far to pursue an aggressive strategy to bring inflation back to target. Most of that was in 2022, and then you bore the fruit in 2023 and into 2024 here.
We talk about how the Fed is data dependent. Powell himself says he is data dependent. What exactly does that mean, and which data in particular is he looking at, should be looking at?
Yeah, I think right now, I think it's mostly the inflation data, because on the real side of the economy, things are going very well, and you can argue about why, but they're going very well. The committee doesn't really have to worry about that side of the mandate right now. All they've got to worry about is getting inflation back to the 2% target. And they've come a long ways back already. It was 4.8%, now 2.8% core PC inflation on a 12-month basis. That means you've only got 0.8% to go. And some people are saying that the next report will lead to core PC being only 2.6% on a 12-month basis. So you're starting to get close enough. I think you have enough data in hand right now to justify the first rate cut, maybe not a whole string of rate cuts, but you could certainly justify the first rate cut now based on the data that they have.
We talk about how the U.S. economy is very strong. So would you say that the risk in the U.S. economy right now is inflation and not growth? Fair to say that?
I think that's right, yeah.
Why is the U.S. economy so resilient? I mean, not too long ago, we were expecting a recession, 100% or, you know, priced in of a recession. Yet here we are with a very resilient economy.
Yeah, last year at this time, you had the bank failure of Silicon Valley Bank and other banks, smaller banks around the country. That was overinterpreted to mean that the U.S. was going into recession. I don't think it was ever a good story to tell because, yes, their banks failed, but they're only a small fragment of the total banking and the total intermediation sector in the U.S. economy. So I think that card was overplayed, and not only did the U.S. not go into recession in the second half of 2023, but the economy actually boomed in the second half of 2023. So you really got a very strong outcome, and that has continued into the first part of 2024 here, although I would say we're going to be closer to the trend growth rate now, not way above trend the way we were during the last 6 months of 2023.
Some people talk about the U.S. economy being a two-track economy. What's the risk in that?
What do you mean by two-track?
Like, there's some parts of the economy that's actually very weak.
Yeah. I think that's always the case, probably, in any really big economy. There are always some things that aren't going so well, or some markets where there are problems. But I think that it's very encouraging that the overall picture is very strong for the U.S.
You talk about the risk of the Fed possibly being behind target, behind the curve, so to speak. How do you assess that risk, that it may be behind the curve?
Yeah, I don't think that this has really come into view yet because things are going so well. So it's a good problem to have. The economy is doing well. Inflation is coming down. But if you don't pay attention to everything that could happen, you might weigh the probabilities a little bit off. So it's maybe a minor problem to have, but it's something to keep an eye on in the months ahead.
And that was former St. Louis Fed President James Bullard speaking with Bloomberg's Huslinda Amin. Catch the full conversation on the Bloomberg Talks podcast. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.